Hi, everyone. This is Catherine Adams
and Elizabeth Wallace, and you're listening to Binary System Podcast number 404. And tonight, we're recapping Lore Olympus episode 270 and 271. Episode 270 is available for free on the Webtoons app, but 271 is only available if you're fast passing, which of course we are, and there was definitely a lot of forward momentum in these two episodes.
Yeah, even though the first half of episode 270 has minimal dialogue, because it is baby Dionysus waking up to all of the chaos going on because Hades and now Persephone have disappeared. And, you know, you see everyone running around like maniacs. And I think Thanatos says at one point that he's called everybody into the boardroom to discuss Plan B. And Hecate's like, Plan B? This was Plan B. So, and meanwhile, nobody's paying attention to Dionysus, even though he's really wanting to tell them something. When he wakes up, he sees like this glowing orb in his room, and he stuffs it into his backpack, and then he brings it out and he's telling everybody, Lek, L-E-K, and he says that a few times. Nobody's paying attention to him. I haven't seen anybody offer any theories about what it is he's trying to say.
Nope. When he first sees it actually glowing, he does say finey. And I thought maybe that meant shiny. It's hard to tell because he's doing baby speak, but yeah, he can't get anybody to pay attention to him, so like the young god that he is, he ends up getting his little backpack on, and he gets a little dog to help him out of the door, which he says, Fink, like that. And you can see, like, this staff sort of appear in his hand, but it's a very small picture, but it's like the staff with the bundle of wine grapes on the top of it.
Yeah, and that, or I think the Lore Olympians discussed that today. Dionysus is sometimes drawn with a staff that has a pine cone on top, and it's all about fertility and celebration, and I think sometimes people could go mad if they used the staff. So, yeah, definitely a symbol of Dionysus.
I thought it was definitely a bundle of grapes. Never mind. But yeah, he gets that and goes out the door, and then he gets on the two-headed horse or calf. It was the little creature that Persephone had with her when she was threatening the nymph that kept on hitting on Hades.
Right, yes. And there's definitely a very adorable hero's journey looking drawing of him riding the two-headed whatever off into the city. And he manages to make his way to the door of Tartarus.
Yep. And he gets past everybody who is freaking out about Hera and Persephone being gone, and he looks under the door and he says, chirp, like that. And then he opens his backpack and he takes out this bottle of wine and he tilts it back, and there's this great shot of him just draining the whole bottle, and he turns into a snake, because of course he does. He's Dionysus.
Yeah, he turns into a snake and sneaks under the door, as you do. But I loved some of the commenters. They had great things to say about this episode. Commenter Tywin Roar said, so he transformed and snuck underneath the door, a pantheon of shapeshifters, and nobody tried that. And then another person, Tehwin Kehi, says Dionysus just kicking off his snakeskin like it's a loose pair of pants.
It's just adorable. So at that moment, the last we see of him is when he's kicking the snakeskin aside, because then we go straight over to Hades, who's waking up, and he knows something's gone wrong with the sleep dive, and he doesn't immediately realize that he's actually been de-aged to being a little kid. He's just sort of walking through this kind of odd dreamlike area. He says it's not the underworld, there's too many pastels, but he sees a pond or a stream and sees his reflection. He's like, why am I a child? Oh, no. And yes, Kronos starts taunting him and telling him how useless he is.
And it's not just telling Hades that he hates him or that Hades is worthless. He goes for the jugular. He tells him that everybody he cares about has only ever been pretending to like him because they felt sorry for him. And as people who have had imposter syndrome probably since the day they were born, I so can sympathize that, because it's like, even worse than the idea of people hating you is the idea that the only time people have praised you is because they felt sorry for you and they were being nice.
Oh, God, it's so awful. And Kronos keeps it up and keeps it up and then says that includes Persephone. And this is the point when Hades actually starts to fight back. He's saying, don't talk about her. I know she loves me. And Kronos is like, she only feels pity for you. And you ruined her by taking to the underworld. And Hades says that she sacrificed herself to save the underworld, and she did it out of love. And being here at Kronos' mercy is the worst nightmare that he can ever imagine. But if it actually helps, if it helps her in some way, he'll endure it just for her. I mean, he was really just, I don't know. It's like he was definitely giving up for a while there. But as soon as Cronos started talking about Persephone, he fought back.
And it's all wonderful artwork of child Hades just screaming at Cronos and defying him. And he washes ashore and Cronos seems to have pulled away or something. But then Hades sees the little hooded figure. And he even gets confused. He's like, wait, that's me? But I'm me. I'm in child form right now. And we're like, yes, we all knew that they looked alike. I'm glad that was deliberate.
Same. So he yells out, you know, who are you? And that's the end of the episode.
Oh,
crap. And of course, the next episode starts with Persephone and Hera. And spoilers, we don't find anything about Hades in this next episode.
No, and the commenters are going nuts. They're like, is it actually Melano? Is this like the future version of Hades' daughter? We have to find out.
Nope, not this week we don't.
Nope.
So, into 271, spoiler warnings, this is only available if you're fast passing. Hera and Persephone wake up on the ground, and Persephone runs over to Hera, asks she's okay, and Hera says, I'm fine, unless you can die of embarrassment. Why did I think we could sneak a team in with us? And I'm like, you know what? That's a good question. Maybe because you just did it wrong. I'm sorry.
Yes, you didn't have people like actually chained to you and walking in lockstep through the door at the same time. That would have been good. But they hear Cronos laughing evilly and like brimstone starts raining down from the sky. And I do love that little drawing. You see this towering version of Tartarus and this tiny little figures of Hera and Persephone just booking it across the landscape.
So at some point, Persephone actually gives like a little diagram of where they are, and it's Tartarus, and that's a vertical canyon, and it used to hold the Titans after the Titans had been punished for, when the gods had beaten them, whatever. But now it holds the absolute worst of all the human shades.
Which is interesting that we never actually see any of those as they're drifting downward. But Persephone says they can't go too fast or the pressure will destroy them, which I guess gives you a chance to have this leisurely conversation as they're floating down. Really love that one picture of the two of them just as they've started floating over the edge into Tartarus and Hera's hair is just streaming past. And it's just really beautiful work as usual.
Oh, of course. So Hera at some point asks Persephone if she's okay after this whole nonsense with Apollo. And I love the fact that she says, you know, none of us expect you to marry him. I'm like, thank you for saying that out loud.
Yeah, my notes here. Good.
And Persephone says, at this time and place, her weapon of choice is disassociation. There is so much crap going on, you know, between Hades being missing and Apollo. And she just can't think about it right now. So she's just not going to think about it.
And Hera wants to know if it's true that she's a fertility goddess, which Persephone says, yes, not that it's ever done me any good. And Hera wants to know, is that what happened when Apollo was using your power? And Persephone says, no, I know what he was trying to do, but it wasn't that. And she's fairly sure that he's manufactured something, and she'd be willing to bet that all that greenery that they created during the press release is now already dead. So whatever it was that he was doing, it wasn't permanent. But what I do know is Apollo has no idea what love is, and he doesn't have a solution. I did make him bleed from the eyes and ears, though, so that's a win. And my notes here, good!
Yeah, apparently this is part of her new powers, you know, whatever's causing the plague and everything. She was using it to rot his physical form from the inside. I'm like, oh, good for you.
Thank goodness. So hopefully Apollo will think twice before trying to do another stunt like that. I really want to see what the after effects were, not just because the other gods were looking to beat the tar out of him for what he accused Hebe of doing, but just how is he feeling, and is that giving him any pause?
Oh, I hope so. But Persephone does take the time to say something interesting at one point. She says she knows what it feels like when she uses her fertility powers, because she and Hades kind of did it on accident at one point, and she says it's like being on fire, but good. And the commenters pointed out that Hera has a particular look on her face at this moment, and the commenters were wondering if Hera ever experienced that with Hades, because Hera may be the missing fertility goddess. We don't know. So I hadn't noticed that. I thought maybe Hera was just listening to what she was saying, but they could be right. She might have just had a moment where she's like, oh, I know what that feels like.
Well, Kronos has been laughing at them this entire time, and at one point he even like flings his chains up in between them. And Hera like tells Persephone at one point, "I'm really not much of a combat person." And Persephone is like, "Please just let me keep you safe, because you shouldn't have to be here." And then Hera gives her a kiss on the cheek as they're slowly floating downward. It's really cute.
So sweet. It's absolutely sweet. But yeah, Persephone thinks that maybe this power that she used to rot Apollo on the inside, that maybe she can use that on Kronos. And that's when Hera says, "Well, I'm not much of a fighter," and then kisses Persephone on the cheek. She says, "Well, like I said, I'm not much of a fighter. My strengths are in conversation." And she calls out to Kronos.
Yes, and my notes here are, "And Hera plans to subdue Kronos temporarily with conversation," and it seems to be working, because Hera does have this talent when talking with Kronos of like saying things that actually make him pause. And and she tells him at one point that she's decided to forgive him, and he wants to know why he would care if a traitor forgives him. And she said, it must have been hard for you being the son of Ouranos. And there's a long pause as Kronos thinks about that. And he says, "People think that I'm the worst, but you don't know what worst is." And that's Ouranos. Now we're really starting to see how dangerous this is going to be with Apollo working together with Ouranos. Because it sounds like, as bad as Kronos was, Ouranos might be even worse than he was. And that's a scary thought.
Yep. And Kronos is also like, so he's got all this trauma from having lived under Ouranos. He said something like, "At least I let my children live free for a while." So I don't think Ouranos ever gave him that breathing room. But he also says, you know, that Kronos, had stopped Ouranos, and nobody thanked him. And all this time while they're talking, by the way, Persephone is sneaking up behind him.
Yeah. And Hera thinks that they really have something in common, and that she knows how he feels, because he defeated a tyrant and she also defeated a tyrant, and what they both got was contempt. I'm like, wow. Yep. I mean, it has the benefit of being true, what she's telling him.
Yep. And he says something like, you know, "Out of all the goddesses who ever lived, it's such a shame." And then there's this wonderful picture of her face. She just looks, I don't know, angry but resigned. And she says, "You're going to finish me off now, aren't you?"
And there's this picture of just Kronos's glowing face with her floating very small in front of him. And that's where the episode ends.
Oh, I can't believe it. Great. Two more weeks. So, a lot of stuff going on. I don't know. Any thoughts as to what's going to happen next in that situation? Do you think Persephone's powers might actually work on Kronos?
I mean,
they certainly worked on him. Well, her fertility goddess powers worked on him in the previous battle. Mm-hmm. Maybe her new powers will work on him now? I don't know.
Maybe, but I think the way the pattern has been going, we're either going to go back to Hades and the little ghost boy, or we're going to go back to find out what the hell is happening with Psyche and Eros, because nobody's been talking about that.
Nope. I don't know. I mean, maybe the gods beat the crap out of Apollo, and maybe they're going to get him to talk or something. I don't know.
That would be lovely. Thanatos pulling everybody into a boardroom to talk about their next plans. Everybody was there to help Persephone. Is somebody going to say, "Hey, what's happened with Eros? Shouldn't he be here?"
Yeah, maybe somebody can go over. I mean, nobody trusts Apollo. Nobody trusts Leto. Maybe somebody will be like, "Maybe we should go check out Leto's place. That would be great."
Yeah.
Ugh. Anyway. In other news, WonderCon is this weekend. We have some photo galleries going up for that one. Very excited. And other than that, just with getting ready for WonderCon, I don't really have a lot of other stuff that I've been doing. And we did feel like we needed to mention the fact that the Princess Kate actually did make a statement about why she hasn't been around.
Yep. Apparently, she was undergoing what was it? It was voluntary surgery, or what do they call it? I mean, I always thought it was like
Electives,
or maybe something like that. Some kind of abdominal surgery. And while they were doing it, they found cancer. And Nathan was wondering if her surgery might could have been, you know, a diverticulosis or diverticulitis or whatever you call it when it gets chronic and they need to take care of it, something like that. But they managed to find cancer. They haven't given us any more information, but now everybody's kind of like, ooh, yeah, maybe we're not entitled to that information. So
yeah,
a few people have like actually come out and apologized for the fact that they've been, I don't know, everybody's been just going to town on the royals lately. And now, have they confirmed what kind of cancer King Charles has?
I don't believe so. I think that's okay, another speculation and everything.
One of my coworkers was convinced that it was prostate cancer, but then I've been seeing other people insisting there was pancreatic cancer, which would be really bad. I mean, it's like that's the two ends of the spectrum there. You know, prostate cancer, almost routine treatment nowadays. Pancreatic cancer, maybe if you catch it early enough.
Yeah, and of course, the crazies are out because there's some people who are saying that she doesn't really have cancer. This is all just a big cover-up for what's actually going on. And then other people are saying, oh, she has cancer and King Charles had cancer. They both got vaccinated. That's what the vaccines are going to do for you. I'm like, for crying out loud. Oh, my God. You guys stop. But so anyway, we figured we probably ought to just mention something about that.
Oh, I'm wondering if we're going to end up having another episode of convention disaster stories, because of course everybody was talking about the whole Willy Wonka experience thing that ended up being just not just bad but embarrassingly bad. Like, you know, all this AI generated art that nobody could possibly deliver on, and then when parents get there with their kids, it's a warehouse with a bunch of creepy props, and like the chocolate experience is like a half a cup of lemonade and a jelly bean, or maybe three jelly beans, like just ridiculously bad. But what I think is hilarious is Mr. Fire Festival himself, Billy McFarland, is saying that everybody deserves a second chance, so he's considering hiring this dude to help him with Fire Festival. I'm like, if we didn't know that Fire Festival 2 was going to be a dumpster fire already, I mean, he's more concerned with perceptions of people than he is about getting the festival put together. Like, I saw a commercial that he posted about how great Fire Festival 2 was going to be, and it was all like clips from the promo images for Fire Festival 1.
Oh, so dear Lord.
I don't understand how he doesn't see how this is so bad that once again he's doing advertisements and selling tickets for a festival that he has no planning done yet.
No, nothing. He has no venue. He has no acts scheduled. I mean, I can't imagine. It's one thing. We've been talking about the fact that there's always going to be people who will show up to Fire Festival 2 just to watch the world burn. I mean, if they've got the money to do it, it's just like, let's see what a disaster it's going to be. I would guess that a lot of like musical acts are going to be like, no, because we don't know that we'll get paid.
Right,
know?
Yes. So. And I wouldn't trust Billy McFarland to set up a Girl Scout tent, much less an entire performance stage where it's actually important to get things right because people could die if you put something together wrong.
Yeah. Did you ever hear about that? That's why you have ridiculous things in riders? Like green M&Ms?
No green M&Ms, because it meant if you see that they actually took out all the green M&Ms, it meant they read the entire rider and have followed all the instructions.
Great.
It's
really important. Yeah, seriously. I mean, it's just nobody wants anything to explode under their feet or anything. So yeah, makes me feel a lot better, because I always thought it was just, I don't know, rich popular musicians just being rich popular musicians. But no, there's a method to their madness.
There is. There's no method to Billy McFarland's madness. So it's supposed to happen in a year. So I'm sure in a little while we'll get a great story out of it. And hopefully nobody will die.
Yeah. That is one of the nice things about Fire Festival 1, that there were no deaths and nobody even got badly injured.
Yeah.
So other than some like hangovers and some sunburns, I mean, it could have been a hell of a lot worse.
It sure could have.
But I guess that's going to wrap us up for the week. So make sure to check out pixelatedgeek.com for all the book reviews, the movie reviews, the comic book reviews, the photo galleries coming up soon. Hopefully, that'd be great. And we've got a review up of the latest Ghostbusters movie by Hugh, and it was one of his rare B ratings. So he did not give this an A rating. Hilariously, David, who is much harder on movies than Hugh is, I want to say that David actually really liked it.
I think he did. Yeah, I think. I mean, this he really, really loves the franchise and can't stand it when they do it wrong. So it's it sounds like they've at least gotten a little bit better about stuff. We actually watched the Red Letter Media review of that, and I think they had some problems with it. I think most of the problem they have is when you have something that you really, really love from your childhood, guaranteed somebody's going to get a hold of it and turn it into a franchise, and then you're just going to have to deal with multiple iterations of things that aren't quite as good as what you remember. But they had they had some interesting things to say, like there's maybe a bit of a romance between a girl and a ghost, but they're both women, but they never actually come out and say that explicitly. And I loved Mike from Red Letter Media. He referred to it as passive progressive. Like, oh, if you guys like this sort of thing, that's totally what we meant. If you don't, well, we never actually meant to do that anyway. So you're trying not to piss off the wrong part of the audience, I guess.
Yeah. It's like queer baiting with no stakes, I guess. Yeah. So, yeah, pretty much. But I've never seen the Ghostbusters Afterlife, the one that came before this one.
No, I've never even seen Ghostbusters 2. I've seen the original, and the Red Letter Media guys said that the plot for this one sort of reminded them of a plot from the real Ghostbusters cartoon that we used to watch.
Which is hilarious, because that's exactly what Hugh said, like word for word. He even brought up that cartoon. Yeah,
so that's interesting. Like, oh. Okay, well, that would make me a little bit more interested, because I remember liking that cartoon.
Me too. Anyway, all that and more, pixelatedgeek.com. So next week we should have, I believe, a Night Vale episode.
I think so.
Yeah. And of course, all the WonderCon content and any other shiny thing that distracts us. So one way or the other, we will talk to everybody in 1 week.
Talk to y'all later.
I don't know. Yeah, let me try. And then I'm going to start all the way back from the beginning. Persephone takes the moment to actually describe what it feels like when she is using her fertility powers. Sorry. It's a car outside beeping.
Beeping, beeping,
try
beeping.
That again.
Yep. Are they actually driving away?
I don't think so.
It's getting louder.
I don't know that it is. It's a car alarm, so
yeah. Just
I wonder when they finally actually made it so that those things have a 2-minute timer on them.
Do they?
But they do in my neighborhood. I never hear them go off for more than 2 minutes.
I had to march over to somebody's house in the middle of the night and knock on their door, and they never did answer. But the alarm finally stopped going off, but it was annoying. But I don't know if they actually suddenly realized, oh, shit, and turned it off and weren't answering their door, or if there was a time limit. Is that it?
That's it.
Okay. All right. Try that again.